Maggie Sinclair stared into the glowing eyes of the oldest living creature she'd ever seen, searching for any hint of danger or warning, something to assure her she was the real deal. The woman, a dead ringer for the crone who gave the princess the poisoned apple, crooked a long, gnarled finger and beckoned her closer. A chill ran the length of Maggie's spine as the room fell eerily still. A gray mist rose from the old, worn floorboards, reaching table height, where it stopped and hovered around them. It was spooky and, no doubt, otherworldly in nature. Not for the first time since she'd stepped through the woman's front door, Maggie wondered what on earth she'd gotten herself into. There were a ton of rumors about the crone. This crone. Rumors about predictions she'd made that turned out to be true, and how accurate they were. Maggie had never been sure what to believe about psychics or mediums, but she'd also never been this desperate. She'd always managed to find trusted evidence that swayed her both ways at different times in the past. Maggie was trained to consider and follow evidence, all evidence. She also trained, however, to trust her intuition. Not that she had a need or even a desire to look into the occult before. So it wasn't something she'd ever given that much thought. Now, well, this was different. Earlier that day, when Celeste, her would-be sister-in-law, suggested they come here, she didn't bat an eye. Maggie nodded fervently and snatched Celeste's hands, surprising even herself with her sudden faith in the crone's abilities. Of course, she wanted to make contact with Derek. She wanted more than that. She wanted him back. Period. 2 minutes later, she was grabbing a stack of money from her safe and dragging Celeste out the door. When they pulled up to an odd-looking cottage with a cobblestone walk, Maggie's stomach dropped. From the expression on Celeste's face, she'd felt it too. They walked hand in hand on the moss-covered walkway and up the creaky wooden steps. The door opened before they'd set foot on the porch, startling them both. A stooped woman stood in the darkened entryway, a shroud wrapped around her head and draped over her shoulders. It covered her neck and most of her features. She gestured they come inside. Afraid she'd lose her nerve if she looked over at Celeste, Maggie stepped forward before she was able to give a second thought to what she was doing. Now, sitting across from her, this mystic who lived on Crabapple Lane, the irony dawned on Maggie. Crabapple, poison fruit for the princess. Witch. In a nanosecond, Maggie became a believer. Her eyes darted to her right toward Celeste, who sat in the corner. Too late to turn back now. Despite looking nervous herself, Celeste gave her a hasty nod. Translation, I'm freaked out too, but let's do this. It was all the encouragement Maggie needed. She leaned in, fixed her gaze on the woman with glowing eyes, and tilted her head in acquiescence. There's a price for what you seek, child, the crone said in a serious tone. Maggie had already decided as long as she wasn't getting a redux of Nicole Kidman's scary, abusive boyfriend come back from the dead in Practical Magic, she was in. She knew it wasn't rational, but grief makes you do irrational things. Maggie knew that now. I don't care, Maggie said, measuring her words, narrowing her eyes in determination. She wanted the love of her life back. The old woman's wrinkled face twitched. Maggie couldn't tell if it was excitement or contempt. Something ominous in those incandescent eyes made her shiver again and swallow hard. Stop it. Don't be a baby. Worried the woman would change her mind, Maggie pulled the photograph of Derek from the front pocket of the flannel button-down she wore, one of Derek's, and flattened it on the wooden table. The picture was one of her favorites, taken at a community baseball game. Derek looked the image of health and athleticism, complete with wind-ruffled hair and a playful gleam in his dark blue eyes. Careful not to wrinkle or smudge it any more than it already was, her fingers splayed on the wood as she slid the picture forward until it lay between them. Then, she pushed the stack of money closer to the old woman.